Find your way to verse 26, Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. I want to talk to you about the joy of Mary's faith. Last week we learned about the joy of Elizabeth's faith. Tonight, this morning, I want to talk about Mary's faith. Luke chapter 1 and verse 26 starts off and it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Now this is one of the most well-known events in the Bible to the Irish people. It's called the Annunciation. The announcement by the angel Gabriel to Mary that she was going to have the Son of God. Some people call it the Hail Mary. This is something, if you ask any child or old person, they all know about it. It's even every noon and 6 p.m. the Angelus is supposed to remind you of this one event. As I said, it's the Annunciation, but it is not a prayer to pray. What we're about to read is not something you're supposed to take as a prayer. It's an actual Christmas event that you're supposed to learn from. Now, what you'll find when you learn about how the angel interacted with Mary and how Mary reacted, you'll learn that in every event surrounding the birth of the Messiah, whenever faith is at work, there was joy. Now, not everything that happened at Christmas was full of joy. If you remember about Herod, Herod was jealous, was envious, was quite upset at the fact that there was another king born, wasn't there? There was no joy at the fact that Jesus was prophesied to be born, that Jesus was being honored and worshipped by these wise men. So there wasn't a lot of joy in Herod's heart, and he actually pursued all of the children in Bethlehem, and he slaughtered them all, 2 years old and younger. So not everything about Christmas is full of joy, but wherever there was faith, wherever somebody decided to do things God's way, there was joy. So let's pray and let's let God teach us about the joy of Mary's faith. Father, would you bless our meeting today against all principalities and powers, against all things going on inside the heart. I pray that, Lord, you would overrule and that you would speak to us and meet some needs. Encourage, Lord, your people, every person in this room, encourage us, Lord, that whatever Mary had, we need. She's not some supernatural, some super spiritual Christian. She's made out of the same flesh and blood as we are. And she needed the same Savior that we did. God, right now, this morning, please meet with us and speak to us. Help me be a help to people. In Jesus' name, amen. So, you well know about it. Looking there in verse 26, let's pick it up again, and we'll read all the way down to verse 33 at first. Luke chapter 1, verse 26, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Right there, an angel greets Mary, and you know the first thing there. This is 6 months into the pregnancy of Elizabeth. And this very same angel, Gabriel, that had told Elizabeth and Zacharias they were going to have a miracle baby, now appears to a woman way up in the town of Nazareth. Now, Elizabeth and Zacharias were down near Jerusalem. And so way up in Nazareth, right next to the Sea of Galilee, is this one young lady. And this angel meets her. And she was a virgin. By the way, that was not unusual back then. It wasn't even unusual back 70, 80 years ago. Something happened. I don't know what it was. Something happened all over the Western world where people thought that it was out of step to stay a virgin and to think that it was important to try before you buy, as they say. But this young lady had saved her best for her future husband. This young lady had not thrown her body to the first dog that winked at her and drooled at her beauty. She'd kept herself. She stayed a virgin. And God honors it, I think, you'd see. She stayed a virgin until marriage. Now, she was espoused. You hear that word spouse in there? She had somebody that she was engaged to who she treated like with respect and with great admiration, like her husband, even though they weren't fully married yet. She was espoused to a good man named Joseph. He's not an old man. Sometimes you pick up these old family Bibles and you got a picture of an old guy who looks like he's 70 years old following behind a young 20-year-old Mary. That was not it. He was a young man in love with Mary, eager to get married to start a family. So you hear this angel just appear before. I don't think angels knock, by the way. So just Mary, I don't know what she's doing, okay? But there she is, and the angel appears, and he goes, "Hi!" She hits the floor, amen? And she's terrified. I mean, this thing, somebody says it's an apparition. I think he's physically there. And he's talking right to her, and she's like, "Are you for real?" He says, now if he was from Texas, he would have said, "Howdy." Okay. But because he's from heaven, he says, "Hail," alright? "Hi. Greetings." And then he says some amazing things. He says, "Thou art highly favored." Now those are amazing words. You are cherished by God. You're a very special, blessed woman. Some people talk about, "Wow, I'm a lucky man." Not if you're a Christian. You know, if you're saved, anything good in your life happens because you're blessed, not because your luck was in. And if trouble's in your life, it's not because luck was out. Because maybe sin in your life, or just devil didn't like you that day, whatever. But the angel praises Mary. Says, "Don't fear, don't be afraid." How many of you remember your dad sneaking up on you? And all of a sudden, you realize you're in so much trouble. Well, think about it. An angel appears, and what does she imagine? "I'm in trouble." And the angel says, "Don't be afraid. You're not in trouble with God. You have a very good reputation with God." And then he does something amazing. He makes a promise to her. Verse 29, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Where's he going with all this? Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt," and here's the promises, "thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." So he makes some promises to her, makes quite a few of them. He says, "You're going to get pregnant. You're going to give birth to a son. You're going to call his name Jesus." And Jesus is actually two words put together. Jesus is Jehovah, the name of the Lord, saves. So Jesus is the contraction of two words, Jehovah saves, Jesus. You're going to call him Jesus. And he'll be great. I promise you, your son will be great. He will be the son not of Mary, not the son of your future husband, but the Son of the Highest. He'll be the Son of God. He'll even one day be the king on David's throne. And he's not going to set off that throne. He will be on that throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords forever and ever and ever. Now, verse 34, you know the story. She must have, like in school, must have put up her hand. "Excuse me." There is a problem here. Okay? There's a problem here. Look at verse 34. "Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, Mary says, "I got a little problem here. I'm still a virgin. So how's this going to work?" That's a great question. You know, when God makes a promise to you in the Bible, and this is something I'm going to reiterate throughout this message, when God gives you a promise in the Bible, not one that you make up, not one that you say, God, I'm believing you for a new car. That's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to believe what He's already written, not what you want. So God has told her, you're going to have a child. And she's like, I don't know how. Now, the thing that I want you to understand is this. It's up to God the how. It's up to you to believe. Does that make sense? It's up to God to figure out the how. It's up to you and me to just decide to believe. She doesn't believe right off the bat. She doesn't go, oh, no problem. God, I trust you all the way. She's like, how? And you know, you got to give credit. God just doesn't pick people who are perfect. There are no Mary Poppins in the Bible. Amen? Practically perfect people. There are people like you and me. She doesn't have perfect faith. She's looking at that angel going, I don't know how this is going to happen. I'm still a virgin. And the angel reminds Mary who's at work. Look at verse 35. And the angel answered her and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible. The angel explains, and he gently explains. I like it up. I like my Bible. I wouldn't want this book to be updated. I mean, the angel gently and carefully describes how this is going to happen. What's about to happen to you, Mary, is something that you're just not going to understand. You can't see it, but you will be in awe. The power of the Holy Ghost is going to do this. He will overshadow you. This is going to be something that He does and you cannot understand. Then He says, hey, because of this pregnancy, because of this virgin birth, it's going to prove that this is the Son of God, not just the Son of a man. I want you to take your Bible and hold your place here and go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign, a miracle. Behold, a what? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God right here with us. There's a prophecy spoken, and that was a prophecy that God would come and be with us. This was going to be the fulfillment of a prophecy made 700 years earlier. And then He says, by the way, your cousin has had a miracle birth, not a virgin birth, but a miracle birth anyway, and that ought to encourage you that with God, nothing is impossible. Now, how does she respond? Look in verse 39. Oh, verse 38, sorry. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. That settled it. All right, you showed me in the Bible. You reminded me of the prophecy. You told me this is going to happen. That settles it. I don't understand the how, but I understand my responsibility of to believe. Now, if God says it, then that ought to settle it. Mary says, you win. I believe. I trust you. Let it be as you said. Give me the baby. No debate, no argument, no more questions. And let me say this. Belief is not something you just do with your brain. It is something you must do with your heart. The brain says, that's impossible. The heart says, God said it would happen. The brain says, there's just no way. The heart says, well, I believe God will make a way. You see, there ought to be a bit of an argument sometime between the head and the heart That's very important when it comes to faith. Because faith, Mary's teaching us, faith is this. Faith is not always understandable. Rarely do I understand anything that God asks me to do. It's not even explainable. Say, Pastor, tell us about how you got called to preach and how God brought you to Ireland. I can only tell you what happened. I can't explain it. Faith is not really fully understandable. But faith always is in response to the will of God, not what you want. I guarantee you how we pray is this way. Dear God, this is my list. And we start going through our list. And then nothing gets answered. Faith is supposed to be in response to the will of God. Faith is something that pleases God the most, just to believe Him and to take Him at His word. Hebrews 11:6 says this, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him by faith. Faith is something that pleases God the most. You say, I'm going to church, and you ought to go to church. I'm reading my Bible, amen. You're, I'm sticking with my wife, amen. Is she sticking with you? I'm doing my job. I'm paying my bills. You know, that doesn't impress God at all. What God looks for is, are you willing to do what He says because you trust Him? That's faith. Faith is not me just trying to do some good things. Hey, God, look at me over here. I'm pretty good. No, He's not going to notice you. But when He says, will you do this? And you go, I don't know how. But if you think I can do it, I'll do it. Then God goes, Gabriel, get over here. Michael, get over here. Look at this. Look at this. That's faith. It turns always into obedience. Many times we have a faith. We have something we say we believe, but then we don't obey. We don't do what God says. We find it very hard to move out of the theology and into lifeology. Say, well, I believe the Bible. Amen. Are you obeying? That's faith. Say, well, I believe Jesus, Son of God. You know, There's 4.5 million people in this country that claim to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they're not following Him. They're not obeying Him. Faith always turns into obedience, and it is always rewarded. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. It is always rewarded. You know what? From that very hour, Mary became pregnant and began the next 9 months and the next few years of such a joy and such a roller coaster ride of joy, where look at verse 45. When she meets up with her cousin, look at what Elizabeth says to her. Just as soon as she enters into the room, Elizabeth already knew she was pregnant. And she was pregnant. Look what it says in verse 43. And whence is this to me? This is Elizabeth talking. That the mother of my Lord should come to me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And here's our memory verse. And blessed is she, blessed is Mary that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. Why? Because the how is left up to God. The faith, the belief is left up to us. And if God said it, that settles it. Let me show you the benefit of believing God and trusting God like Mary did. I have to sneeze here. I hate that. All right. Somebody's got some fancy perfume on or something. I don't know what it is. Youngin, what are you wearing? Okay. What are the blessings of believing God? What can Mary teach us about this? First of all, because Mary believed in God, we're going to look at a few more scriptures, but just process what we've already read. The most impossible things can get done. Mary got pregnant. She is a virgin. There's no test tube babies. There's no fertility clinics. There's nothing but God. And Mary gets pregnant. And you've got to start to step back and go, science doesn't have all the answers. The doctors don't have all the answers. Professors and education doesn't have all the answers. When you hit a wall, when there's something that's impossible to get done, with God, all things are possible. And you're going to have to decide, listen, I'd like to see some impossible things get done. It's going to happen by faith. It's going to happen when you just believe God. Mary couldn't do anything. Mary couldn't force the issue. She couldn't push for a child. She couldn't seek for a way for this to happen. God had to do it. And sometimes you've got to be brought to a place where there is nothing else that can happen except God stepping in and doing something. Because when you believe God, the impossible gets done. One of the biggest miracles in the Bible is a virgin birth. I think splitting the Red Sea is pretty big. I think feeding Israel for 40 years in the desert with manna every day is a big thing. But having a baby of a virgin, you can't even begin to compare that. That is what God can do. The impossible gets done. Because Mary believed God, the impossible gets done. She had great peace. You know, this woman, she's terrified, she's confused, talking to this angel, but as soon as she settles, let it be, I believe it, that settles it, she's on her way. There's no more fear, there's no more, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, a lot of us, we cannot pray, right? Because when we even try to pray, as soon as we get up, we're still just as anxious and just as panicky as we were when we started praying. But Mary's not like that. As soon as she has read and seen and heard what God has promised, she said, Amen. That brings peace to the heart. If you're panicking about something, it's a sure sign, a little indicator, just like on the dash of your car, a little indicator saying, something's missing. It's called faith. She had great peace. She even, and we're going to talk about this in a moment, she even had great peace in her home. Because there's going to be a bit of a problem between her and her future husband. There always is. I know newlyweds never admit that they have any arguments, but there's going to be an argument here. We're going to see in a moment. And there were never-ending surprises. Look at chapter 2, still in Luke chapter 2 and verse 33. Luke chapter 2 and verse 33, Joseph. Well, go back there. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I guess I need to go back a little bit. Chapter 2, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation, the comfort of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents, Jesus' parents, brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Now here's this guy, this old guy who just comes up, he walks right up to Mary, grabs the baby in her hand, holds him up and says, Woohoo! I've seen the salvation of the Lord. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Now watch how Joseph and Mary react. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Look at verse 35. He goes on, verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall, rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I don't think she saw that coming, do you? First of all, I mean, you're holding your baby, you're going to church, and you're thinking everything's fine, and then some guy grabs that baby out of your arm and starts dancing around going, woo, hoo, 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 hoo. And then he says, you know what? A sword is going to go right through your heart because of this baby one day. He's still dancing around. I don't think she saw that coming. But that's not all. Look in verse 48. This is Jesus in the temple at 12 years old, and Mary and Joseph have lost him. They left him behind. He's sitting there teaching and listening to the lawyers and the doctors there in the temple. When his mother finds him. Look at verse 48. And when they saw him, they were what? Now, I think that was a regular daily occurrence. Every time they turned around and they saw Jesus, they went, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, son, now she's upset as any woman would be. Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Why have you done this to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? Living by faith never gets boring. I tell you what, when you try to do something, when you just have a marriage by faith, when you just try to raise kids by faith, when you just try to serve God, do a ministry by faith, you're never going to get bored. You're not going to always have great days. Some things are going to be hard days. But things are going to happen in your life. Before I got saved, my life was boring, and I tried to spruce it up just like you did. I was a racer. That was what I got into at 15 to 16 years old. Some people got into drugs. Some people were messing around with drinks. Some people into porn. You're all trying to find some high. That's what we're looking for. I've never been better blessed. I've never been more amazed. I've never been most unbored of all of my life serving the Lord. I sometimes wish I could be bored. I'd like to have a month where nothing goes on, maybe one day. Maybe when I lose my teeth before that, huh? You know what? I look right. Folks, when you believe God, when you start living by faith, your life speeds up. Your life just quickens out. Some people drag from week to week. They can't get anything done. They don't have any joy. You ought to live by faith. You ought to serve God by faith. That doesn't mean you have the greatest days. You're just flying in the sky. Sometimes there's disaster. But there's joy there. There's joy. She's going to have some joy. Never ending surprises. Just constant events going on in her life that she says, look what God's doing. She had all her needs supplied. Then you go back to Matthew. I want you to think about one event that fixed Mary and Joseph for the rest of their life. Matthew chapter 2. In verse 11. The wise men. How many wise men were there? We don't know. At least we know there are three gifts, so probably three guys. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child. That's who they were looking for. With Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped who? Him. Make sure you circle the him. They worshipped not Mary, they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. And look at the gifts. Gold. Frankincense. Myrrh. You know, gold is a very expensive metal. I think God just took care of them for the rest of their lives. I think Joseph didn't ever have to worry about feeding his family after that day. You know, when you live by faith, God will take care of you. He may not have gold drop down in your back pocket, but he'll take care of you. I have found that to be true. I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor seed begging bread. When you start to live and trust God like Mary is learning here, God just drops in all the things he needs, not all the things that she needs. She probably wants a new chariot or move to a bigger house or whatever. You know, she got all that she needed. All her needs were supplied. And then she got through the hard times. And I want to say this. Mary didn't have it any easier than any of us do. At almost every step of the way, Mary had a hard time just living like everything will turn out fine. Not living. It's not easy. It was not easy believing God back then. Like it's not easy now, but Mary does it well. You see, there will always be obstacles and rough roads to travel as we trust God. You know what? The hard times that she had, think about some of the things she had to face. Number one, she missed out on that beautiful wedding that she had planned. She had decided, this is my one and only, my beau. Here's Joseph. And I'm sure, just like anybody getting ready to get married, there are all the plans, got a date scheduled, family's invited. All of that was lost when that angel appeared in her room. God had other plans. Needle will tell you, I'll tell you, when you serve God, your plans change. Your life changes. You never know what's going to happen. Mary, all of her plans now, gone. They had to have a rushed marriage that very night. As a matter of fact, Matthew chapter 1 says that Joseph was told by the angel, was told in a dream, fear not to take Mary thy wife and marry her and do it now. And so he got up and he says, let's get to the rabbi, we're going to get married tonight. And I mean, I'm sure in her heart, she's like, everything's gone. All of the plans that we had changed. It's okay. We live by faith now. All right? Secondly, she kept her marriage. She almost lost it. You tell you how hard it was. Go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. You should still be, hopefully, in Matthew. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, it was this way. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Probably tried to tell her husband, spinning his head. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, a godly man, and not willing to make her a public example, because as far as he was concerned, no matter what she explained to him, she stepped out on him. No way you're pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Yeah, right. Instead of him backing away saying she's an adulteress, she has violated our vows even before we got married. Not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privily. Send her away and give her some money to live on. While he thought on these things, I want to say this. I want you to understand. Mary probably very passionately tried to explain to Joseph what happened. Can you see that? Can you imagine her just being flippant about it? Oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. I mean, that would just stab Joseph. And she'd say, and it's by the Holy Ghost. And he'd go, what are you drinking? Can you get it in your mind? This was the hardest conversation they've ever had to have. And Joseph has stood up. He's pacing the floor. He's like, we were engaged to be married. You're supposed to wait. How could you be pregnant? And as he walked away, she's watching her future marriage crumble. How is she going to hold that marriage together? You know how she does it? She leaves him to God. She says, I cannot fix him. I can't open his brain. Most women want to try to fix men's brains. Let me tell you, they're unfixable, except by God. This woman has done the hardest thing of telling him. God hadn't told him anything. She's having to tell him. He's looking at her. He's written off the marriage. He's getting ready to walk out that door. And she says, Lord, if you don't do something, my marriage is gone. You see that? What does she do? She leaves him to God. Many a man has been pushed beyond measure by somebody who loves them and somebody who wants to help them to understand, and we don't get it. Then God steps in. Sometimes, ladies, you're going to have to learn to let God break your man, change your man. Sometimes maybe you need to do it with a frying pan, but sometimes you need to let God do it. Look at the next verse, verse 20. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord now appears unto him. Has she let him go? Yes. She has let go. Faith doesn't manipulate. Faith doesn't push. Faith doesn't twist. Faith doesn't use fingernails. While he thought on these things, behold, now the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. I know it doesn't make any sense to you, but fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And then Joseph got the same faith that Mary had. Watch it. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. He knew her not, so she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. She kept her marriage. You know, a lot of times, listen, Two sinners put together, that's double the trouble, amen? You're enough of a sinner to keep yourself busy for the rest of your life. Throw somebody else into your home and into your life. Two sinners, it takes God to hold you together, amen? Now, our marriage was made in heaven. I don't think so. You need heaven, but it's not made in heaven. You need God to hold your marriage together, and sometimes you need to get your hands off of the throat of your husband. And let God work on it. And God did work on Joseph, didn't he? Amen. And you're going to have to believe God, like Mary did, that God will work on the man. Why don't you preach that? Mary's a good example how to fix unfixable men. Amen. And she did it. She kept her marriage. I have to also say this. Hold on. The hard times. What are the hard times? Who are you going to talk to? She's pregnant. She had a rushed marriage. She almost lost her marriage. Who are you going to go say, I just got to talk to somebody? Who is she going to talk to? Who is Mary going to sit down and say, I'm telling you, I'm in a hard, real, really hard time. I'm telling you, my husband doesn't understand me. I'm carrying the Son of God. Who are you going to talk to? That was Mary. 9 months she had to live. All of this. There's only one person, actually two people she got to talk to. One of them was Elizabeth. God does give you good friends. Make sure you don't throw them away. People in this room, we may not be much to look at, but at least we can relate to you. At least we can understand when you're going through stuff because we're going through it too. Elizabeth's going through the very same thing that Mary was. And Mary did have a good friend in Elizabeth. And you need to cherish the friends that you've got in this church. I don't have very many friends. You never have more than that. Not good ones. She got through the hard times. God gave her Elizabeth. Isn't that good? What if Mary had to just sit around? I doubt Joseph was any different than most normal guys today. We don't know how to comfort our wives. We tell them, just go shopping. What do guys know about comforting a wife, talking to a wife? All guys know how to do is listen. Amen? How do you encourage your wife? You can't communicate. I don't understand. She's speaking English, but I don't understand what she's saying. How is Joseph going to be there? I'm sure every night he comes home, his hands are calloused and sore, and he sits down and the wife says, I just got to talk to somebody. He goes, I'll be right back. I've got more work to do out there. You know, sometimes you don't have anybody you can talk to. You don't have anybody you can lean on. And then God gives you a good friend. Let me tell you, when you live by faith, God will give you the best friends. God gave Mary Elizabeth. Thank God. Amen. That's why she spent several months with her. God got her through the hard times. You know, she had to wait to live with Joseph until Jesus was born. I don't know about you, but that was hard for her. Outside to all the people, everybody thought they were married, but they stayed separate. I know a lot of people think Mary was a perpetual virgin. Take your Bible, turn to Matthew. You're in chapter 1. Go to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. I mean, it was hard. And believe me, if you have delays in your life, it is hard. But God will reward you. Look at Matthew chapter 13. They caught up for lost time. Verse 53. It came to pass that when Jesus, he's a grown man now, and he's 30 years old, when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence, and when he was come into his own country, where was that? Nazareth. He taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, wait a minute, whence hath this man this wisdom and all these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary and his brethren? And he lists them, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas. These are not disciples. These are his half-brothers and his sisters. Are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man these things? The point is this. Mary and Joseph had to wait 9 more months after they got married. Had to wait. They could not know each other intimately until Jesus was born. And then they caught up. When God allows a delay in your life, it's not the end. You'll be able to catch up, don't worry. Other people may, man, so-and-so had a baby when they were 19. So-and-so got a home when they were 22. Listen, God gives you what He knows you need and what will honor Him in your life. You'll be able to catch up. Don't worry. Matter of fact, what He gives you will outlast everybody else. God got her through hard times. I'm trying to show you, Mary's faith didn't make it so that she didn't have hard times. Mary's faith enabled her to endure it and get through it. She had to wait. She had to give birth to the promised baby in some harsh circumstances. Think about Mary. She traveled 60 miles when she comes down to Bethlehem. She goes to Joseph's hometown, and guess what? She's rejected. She goes from house to house. Guess, I can only say this, it doesn't say this, but this is Joseph's hometown. Who usually lives in your hometown? Your parents. Your aunts or uncles. Has any of them opened the door to Mary and Joseph? Evidently, they still got a bad attitude about a rushed wedding 9 months earlier. And they went, no. You changed everything. You know, people, when you live by faith and when you're trying to do what God tells you to do, most everybody's going to think you're nuts and going to write you off and go, I don't want anything to do with it. Faith doesn't make you a superstar. Faith makes you look like a fool. Mary and Joseph are knocking on family doors. They even went to the one inn, the one hotel, if you want to call it there, and even they didn't take them in. They were full up. Think about Mary. She's on there going, oh, we got to find some place. And Joseph's going, I don't know what to do. You know, think about it. Think about it. Mary faced all this. How'd she do it? Okay. Best of all, she was used of God. You know, the devil's a user. The devil uses us and abuses us. He'll take us and give us a 5 seconds of fame, and then he puts us in eternity in flames. That's how he works, man. God seeks our permission to use us, to strengthen us, and to bless us. Mary got to be used of God to carry the living word of life in her womb. She was used of God to give birth to the Son of God. She was used of God to get to hold and care for and be the mother of this newborn baby, the Son of God. God used her to one day let Jesus go. When he said at 12 years old, he said, Mother, don't you know I'm supposed to be busy doing my Father's business? At that point, she's having a battle. I have to start letting him go. And that was God giving her the grace to be able to say, not my will, but thy will be done. And she was used of God in every step of the way. One day she saw him raised up onto that cross. There, helplessly, she could only just look on. She watched him draw all men unto him as he was high, lifted up. You know, she got to be there. I like to be around where great things are happening, don't you? I like stuff happening. Mary was used of God. Listen to Mary praise God. Go back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. You know what will happen when you are believing God? Blessed is she that believes. Well, let's see what happens when you do believe. Chapter 1 and verse 46. It says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. To magnify means to make him look big, not you. I've seen plenty of religious people make themselves look big. I've seen the limelights, the flashing lights, the disco lights. I've seen the whole auditorium make the focus on the man and not on the message. You ever notice that? I've seen a lot of politicians, when they walk into a room, they're trying to make sure everybody sees them in there. You ever seen that? You ever seen movie stars? I mean, when they enter into a room, they want everybody to notice them. New dress, man. And that's just the guys. New hairstyle, new tattoo. It's always, always something to get your attention on them. You know who's Mary's attention on? Magnifying him. You know, when you're trusting God, all you can do is just, wow, make him big. She magnified the Lord. Look at verse 47. And my spirit, this is Mary talking, hath rejoiced in God. And she does not say the Savior. Whose Savior? is God. It's Mary's Savior. She said, I rejoice in God, my Savior. You know who needs a Savior? A sinner. She looked at what God had done in her life. Look what it says, verse 48. For He hath regarded the low estate, the nothingness of this, of me, His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. And holy is His name. I get a problem when I pick up a book and it says, Holy Mary, Mother of God. I'm sorry, that's not true. It's not true at all. God is holy. Holy is His name. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Don't get all caught up with the mercy of Mary. Seek the mercy and the help of Mary. Seek the mercy and the help of the Mother of God. She doesn't have the ability to help you. God does. She saw what God had done in her life. Verse 50, and His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with His arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of His heart. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. How did He do it? By a baby. This was a Christmas praise. He said, she's looking at, this is the victory. Verse 53, He hath filled the hungry with good things. And the rich, He hath sent away empty. He hath opened His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. She just couldn't get over all the things God had done. Had mercy on people, had shown how powerful and strong He is, had defeated all of... I mean, if you're poor, guess what? Everybody else is wealthy, they all win and you're a loser. And she says, this baby changes things. I'm no longer a loser. I'm no longer low. I'm no longer defeated. I'm no longer poor. Neither are you. I don't have two pennies to rub together. Your Father owns everything. He may not trust you with much money right now, but He loves you and He'll take care of you. She's sitting there saying, with this baby, God had removed kings and was replacing them with one king forever, King Jesus. He supplies the needs of the hungry. He supplies yours and mine as well. He's helped His people, Israel, all through that baby. She's sitting there just thinking about how blessed she is to be used of God. You know what Christmas ought to be about? Not getting, but thanking. We have a tradition in our home. I'll talk more about this in 2 weeks. You ought to try something. You ought to stop everybody as they get their presents and say, open it up. We'll all watch. Okay. You like it? Great. You don't? Like it anyway. Who gave it to you? Tell them thank you. You see, I've been in homes where, man, it's like the triple Darby or something, man. Soon as the door to the sitting room is open, don't let that happen in your home. Just be thankful. Let's see what God has done for us. Christmas ought to be a remember of just how awesome He's been in our life. Mary praises God because, why? Her faith has brought joy. All just because she believed. Mary was not God. I want to be very clear. Mary was not God. Luke 1:47 tells us, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. She's not in heaven right now, and some people saying. She's not in heaven right now hearing and answering prayers. Now, Mary is blessed, but we are more blessed. Look at Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse 27. Jesus is teaching, is sitting in a home, and Mary's trying to get to Him. Wants to ask Him something. Luke chapter 11, verse 27, it came to pass as He spake these things, as He was teaching, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice I'm sorry, I had something else in my mind. This is another woman. It came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company, listening to him, lifted up her voice, and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee. Is that true? Yes, it is. And the paps which thou hast sucked. You say, wow, that's talking about Mary. But Jesus says this, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Now, Mary's blessed, no doubt. But we're more blessed. We're more blessed. Mary was not perfect. You'll see all kinds of flaws in her. Mary was not sinless. She needed a Savior. She was not the Immaculate Conception. I know a lot of people I meet go, oh, look, the Immaculate Conception. You see it on the front of some grottos. And what that means is that she was immaculately conceived. I thought there was one virgin birth, but her mother had a virgin birth too. You know, when you start to make up stuff, you never stop. I'll stick with the Bible. She was not the Immaculate Conception. She was a sinner. Can you imagine somebody asks you, what do you think of Our Lady? Oh, she was a sinner just like you and me. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. She was a sinner just like everyone in this room. Maybe she's not as bad as some people you know. She was still a sinner. Because the Bible says these words, there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mary needed God. You know, when she had a need, look at John. You're in Luke. Go to John chapter 2, verse 3. John chapter 2. And there's a family wedding in Cana. Everybody comes to Mary and says, Mary, what do we do? Mary, what do we do? Mary, what do we do? Look what she says. We're out of wine. Everybody's going to get upset. Nobody wants someone to drink water. John chapter 2, verse 3. When they wanted wine, and by the way, it's not strong drink wine. This is just fruit juice. They've been drinking for 3 days, folks, so they would not even be able to tell what it was if they had been drinking alcoholic wine. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto them, she goes to Jesus and says, they have no wine. Verse 4, and Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? I wish I could talk like that. Wouldn't that be? We'd get in more trouble. He's not being disrespectful anyway, but we would be. Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, and listen to what she says, Whatsoever he saith unto you, what? Do it. And here's the point. Mary has learned by this time that whatever he says will work. I wish you believed that about the Bible. Whatever God says is going to work. Just do whatever he says. Don't ask Mary what you should do. She doesn't know. And then lastly, Mary decided, oh, let me make this statement, because this is worth saying. She just believed. I already said she needed the Lord God to save her from the penalty of her own sins, God my Savior, that her first duty was to please God. Look in chapter 1. What's my first duty, Pastor? I'm supposed to be a Sunday school teacher. You know, the first thing you're supposed to do is to please God. You're back in Luke chapter 1. Verse 28. Luke 1:28. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored of the Lord. Favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Look down in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Do you ever do anything that's favorable to God that makes him happy? That's your first job. That is your first duty. Mary's not first duty was, you know, to be sinlessly perfect. Her first duty wasn't to fix the perfect meal. Her first duty wasn't to have a perfect house. Her first duty wasn't to have a perfect husband. Her first duty was to please God. And she did. She believed that her first duty was to please, and it worked. He was pleased. And she decided that God's ways are always the right ways. Think about it. She believed that staying a virgin, waiting for marriage, like the Bible says, is worth it. She believed it was right. She looked forward to a lifelong marriage with one man, not living together, not having casual sex, but having a real, till death do us part kind of marriage. That's what Mary believed in. She said, God designed it. That's the way it's supposed to work. See, when she believed God, she lived it out. And that helped her to believe what God is now promising her, her ultimate purpose, which was to be the woman who would give birth to the promised Messiah. All the way since Genesis chapter 3, every Jewish woman wished that she could be used of God for something great in preparation for the Messiah. And here it was. The Savior of the world. Just because she believed. Now, from that moment on, she decided she was never going to miss any more, any of those blessings. There in chapter 2, verse 16, Luke chapter 2 and verse 16. You got the shepherds coming in and they're amazed and they talk to angels. The angels told them to come find a baby who's the Son of God. And Luke chapter 2 and verse 16, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. When he had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So the first visitors were shepherds. And they come in. It must have been, I don't think they had any tact. I bet they all fought each other to get in close. And they probably smelled bad. They probably tripping over each other, knocking stuff off. And Joseph's trying to protect the baby and trying to hold up the light and everything so everybody could see. Everything's all out of order there. They made known abroad the saying, verse 17, which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by these shepherds. But Mary, look at this. Mary kept all these things and pondered them where? She could have focused all her attention on everything that was wrong that night. Oh, it's cold. Oh, I don't have a proper bed. Oh, I don't have a cot. Oh, I don't have a baby. What are those things called that circle and they play music? What's that thing? A mobile. What's that called? Huh? Yeah, a mobile. Yeah. You know, it says there. And the kid goes, she could have looked at everything that was wrong, and instead of looking at everything that was wrong there, stinking shepherds, they're coming, they wake up the baby. Oh, they don't know how to stand. They won't stand up there at the door. They have to be right over the baby. She could have looked at everything that was wrong, but you know what she did? She sat there and said, this is good. This is amazing. This is good. I'm gonna keep this in my heart. Amen. Amen. That's a choice that she made. She could have focused all her attention on the hardships, but she looked for the blessing. And she kept every memory fresh in her heart. Look at chapter 2, verse 48. We just looked at this where she finds Jesus at 12 years old. But look again at how it says, verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, you can hear the frustration in her voice. Why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. He said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And they went and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Do you think she had a photo album available? They didn't have pictures back then. She had to keep a memory. Ruth was telling us about something a couple of years back. Do you remember this? Do you remember this? And Nina and I looked at each other. No. Come on, you were the ones. You had them over. And we're going, I don't remember. You know, that's a shame. That's a shame. Too many things we remember and too many things we forget and too many bad things we remember. She determined she was going to ponder and keep the good things in her heart. That's something that faith does. Faith doesn't let what's going on take precedence, take more importance over what you're believing God for. And she kept herself in the place of blessing. I think this is very important. If only you knew the value of God's blessings over all the popularity. I want my son to be very popular. I want my daughter to be the prettiest. I want my son to be the star. You know what you're doing? You're creating a devil. Amen. Because the blessing of God is not found in the sports stadium. The blessing of God is not found in the shopping center. The blessing of God is not found in front of a TV for hours on end. The blessing of God is not found on a smartphone or in the internet. The blessings of God are not found with your best friends that you hang with. The blessings of God are found in the place of prayer, in the place where you surrender to God, where you say, God, I have no place to go but to you, and I want to live, living for you. That's where the blessing of God is. And if you don't have a place where you meet with God every day, you're one sorry critter. No wonder church doesn't mean anything. No wonder the Bible doesn't have any zeal to you. No wonder soul winning is no pull. No wonder the world is dark to you. Because you don't keep yourself in that blessing place. You seek God's favor, not anybody else's pleasure. Your blessing, the place of blessing is when you make the effort to be where Jesus is, where His words are taught and preached and loved. I don't know how you got saved. Eric and I sometimes look at each other going, what happened, man? When I got saved, I couldn't help but want to be at church every time the doors were open. Honestly, we had a conference, we had missionaries preaching one whole week, 8 nights, Sunday to Sunday, and 2 of them preached each night. We didn't get out of there till 10:30. I thought it was normal. I wanted to be in a place of blessing. I wanted to be in a place where there was God's blessing. Not riches, not money. I've seen the YouTube, these guys walking all over the counter saying, send me your money! Throw me the money! Woo! They're going to hell. You want to be where the blessing is? Hear the word of God. You know where the blessing is? Serve each one other. You want to be where the blessing is? Take and sacrifice the time to do what you know you ought to do. Today is the Lord's day. It's not sports day, it's not shopping day, it's not feasting day, it's not playing day, it's God's day. Amen. I want to be in the place where there's blessing. She kept herself in the place of blessing. You know, when there was a prayer meeting there in Acts chapter 1, after the resurrection, Jesus is gone, and all the disciples and about 120 other people get together, and they said, we better pray. Guess who was there? Mary. Amen. She said, I need to be where they're praying. That's where the blessing is. You say, well, it's boring praying. I wonder who you talk to. Not boring when you're talking to God Almighty. She never missed any of God's blessings, man. Here's our invitation. Mary was blessed just for believing God. God made Mary a promise. Mary pointed out, there's a problem. I'm a virgin. The angel reminded her the who that would do the work, not the how. And that settled it for Mary, and it ought to settle for all of us. Do you remember what the blessings are of believing God? You know what the blessings are? The impossible gets done. Don't tell me that you haven't had an emergency where you're rushing your kids to the hospital or you're going to the doctor or something else, and you're not praying the whole way. You know why you do that? Because something inside says, I need God. Amen. Amen. Because He's the only one that can get the impossible done. What else are the blessings of believing God? Great peace. Never-ending surprises. All your needs being supplied. God getting you through the hard times. God never. Faith doesn't save you from the hard times. Faith reminds you, you're going to get through them. That's the blessings of believing God. We saw all that in Mary's life. And that kind of faith causes anybody to praise God. You need to take a look maybe this afternoon. Look around your house. Look at your kids. The blessings of God don't have euro symbols on them. Look at your family. Look at how long you've been saved. I mean, if anybody should have lost your salvation, it should have been you years ago. Amen? Think about it. You know, when you live by faith, it just, you can't help but just go, it's the best way to live. Remember, faith doesn't make everything easy, it just makes all things possible. Don't miss any of God's blessings. Start looking for the blessings of God in your life. Don't look at the people who you look up to. Don't look for the wealth that you want. Look to God. I think when you read there, when Mary was talking, all she talked about was God, didn't she? Got to change your conversation. Folks, it all begins with a new birth, starting over. You know, you can't patch
broken mess like you and I are.
We have to start all the way over. That's called being born again. Admitting that you're not okay with God, but that you're a sinner, a lawbreaker. Understanding that there is none righteous, no, not one. And the wages of our sin is death. But I like it. The Christmas gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the greatest Christmas gift anybody can ever receive. Maybe you've gotten used to it. I haven't. I still have the same gift I got 34 years ago. This is the greatest gift anybody could ever receive. Will you decide to believe on the Lord Jesus this morning? Asking Him to save you? Don't worry about asking Mary anymore. Don't worry about talking to a saint or anybody else. Jesus is the only way. And that is when you'll start to experience all the same joys that Mary enjoyed. The joy of Mary's faith ought to be the joy of Eric's faith, and Leo's, young ones, and Jim Foley's. It needs to be our type of faith. And Father, would you give us a desire to have a faith like at that first Christmas? Elizabeth last week, now Mary this morning. They weren't perfect people. They didn't have perfect faith. They weren't sinless. They're just like the rest of us in this room. Something clicked with them. A penny dropped. We've seen the fruit and the results of lives of faith. To the world, it doesn't look like they accomplished much. But in the kingdom of God, they're some of the greatest. Because they did it by faith. They didn't understand. They couldn't figure it out. They had to leave that to you. But what they could do was just believe. Blessed is she that believed. There shall be a performance of those things which were told her. Lord, as we read the Bible, that's you talking to us. I pray we would take you at your word and believe them once again. God, don't let us lose sight and lose heart. And faith still works because you haven't changed. You're the God of the first Christmas, and you're the God of this Christmas. You've got a lot of impossible things. There are people in our lives who are unsaved. There are people who are in a mess. There are marriages on the brink. God, we need some impossible things done. So I pray that we deal with it differently. We deal with it like marriage. And you get to enjoy the fruit of that faith. In Jesus' name, amen.